God's good, ain't he? Amen. Psalms 137, verse 1. You've probably heard this preached before, but it'd be okay. You can hear it again. I know years ago, our pastor would preach this quite often as a reminder to us. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You can go ahead and be seated. I've asked you this before, but I forgot your answer. How many people in here think you can sing? Raise your hand. Three people, four people. I think there's four people that raised their hand that said they can sing, and one of them was joking. No, you wasn't joking. Oh, yeah, think, okay. How many people in here do sing? Raise your hand. How many people sing when you're by yourself? Amen. How many people are glad that you're by yourself when you sing and nobody else is around? I remember this from a very young age. I used to mow grass, and when I mowed grass, I would sing. That's how I made my living in the land of Fireco. And I would sing when I mowed grass, and sometimes when you hit a high patch of grass, the lawnmower would stall. And I really didn't realize how loud I was singing until the lawnmower stopped. And I'd look around, make sure nobody was looking. But when you sing, there's rules to singing. And I don't know all the rules. There's rules to music. And I don't know all the rules. Have you ever been around a musician that thought they were a musician, but they didn't know all the rules to music? There's chord progressions and signatures and timing and all that stuff. And really, honestly, we really don't notice whether they can play or not until they don't. They can come up and play through their songs, and as long as all the notes are pretty well in order, but let Aaron hit a bad note, or let the drummer, especially the drummer. Has anybody ever been in a church where the drummer could not drum? Raise your hand. It messes up everything, absolutely everything. And you notice when it's out of beat, because we may not know all the rules, but we know when it ain't. So, can I pick on you since you raised your hand? Dustin raised his hand and said he thinks he could sing. I've heard him. What's that, Doug? What are you saying? And there's this thing called tone deafness. I'm just kidding. It ain't that bad. But there's rules. There's rules. And you can't go over here and you can't go over there. It's structured. It's all structured. And when you get outside of the structure, it messes everything up. I can't keep myself inside the structure of the song. It's why I don't sing. Now, there's ways that they can get around. Like, when you sing in C, there's certain notes that you can play with C, and there's certain notes that you can't. And when you get outside of that, it messes everything up. They were in captivity. The reason they were in captivity was because they were being taxed. And there came a point when the leadership said, we're not paying anymore. So they led them into captivity. They took them captive. These are the children of Israel that knew Jerusalem, that knew the city, and to be honest with you, that they were King David, and King David knew how to sing. Can you say amen? How do you know? Because the songs that he wrote, he wrote them in ways that they could be sung and played by the rules. David, the King David, the one second under Saul from the very beginning, the second king, knew about worship. And let me tell you this, they knew about worship. Came a moment, Sister Mona, when they said, we're not paying anymore. So they led them into captivity. And they get to the rivers of Babylon. And when they get to these rivers, the Bible says that they wept. They begin to weep at the rivers of Babylon. They begin to enter into a strange land. And when you're in a strange, I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, I don't sleep good. Anybody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, when I'm in a strange place or in a strange house, everything changes. Imagine being removed into a strange country, and not only that, being captive, being wounded, being beaten, and being led into captivity. And they get them down there, and as a way of mocking them, they say, sing us a song. Now, when we sing, most of the time we sing because we're happy. You ever heard a song? We sing because we're happy. Sometimes singing will make you happy. My wife sings a lot. Not just here, she sings a lot at her house or hums. She's always making noise. And you know what's really interesting about it? And she's hearing this for the first time. Zach, there has been times when I've been sitting in the living room not feeling so great about situations and what's going on, and I'll hear her in the kitchen and she's humming. And I ask her sometimes, what are you humming? And you know what answer I get a lot? I don't know. There's been times when I've heard her humming and it's lifted up my spirits. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's times when I've been around people and just because they're laughing, and I don't even have to know what they're laughing about, but just because they're laughing, I get happy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I've heard her sing in the house, and the song would lift me up when I was in a place of despair, because sometimes we're waiting on the mood to get right to make us sing, but I found out sometimes the singing will change our mood. Can you say amen? Sometimes we're waiting on everything to get right before we worship God, but I'm here to preach to you this concept today. Sometimes worshiping Him will change the situation instead of waiting on the situation to worship Him. Let me say it like this. If He's worthy in the valley, He's worthy on the mountain. If He's worthy in the trial, He's worthy in the time of peace. He's always worthy. They said, sing us a song. And as a matter of fact, they said, we want to know one of your songs. Sing us a song from Zion. Sing us one of those songs from Zion. And this is their reply. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The psychologists would tell us that when we sing, it affects the part of the brain that makes us happy. Let's try it. Anybody want to sing a song? It's why we do it a lot of times when we're by ourselves, because you know what we're worried about? We're worried about what everybody else thinks about the way we sound. Come on, let's be honest. When we were in worship today and we were singing, did you hold back any at all for the sake of the person beside you? Let me see your heads, yes or no? Looking around, some people didn't hold back. Some people didn't hold back. Some people saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. You held back because you was worried about what they would think about your ability to stay within the rules. Amen? So that one part where y'all go, praise the Lord. Oh my, I can't do that. So I go, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And I did it for y'all's sake. Because you don't want me to go, pray, because it's going to be awful. So I did it for y'all. But should I really hold back and care about what y'all think about me praising the Lord when I realize what he done for me? Because he didn't ask me to stay inside of the framework of the notes, of the scale, of the beat. He didn't ask me any of that. You know what he asked me to do? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Because I want to let you didn't save me. You didn't die for me. You didn't carry my cross. You wasn't crucified. You wasn't buried. You didn't raise again. You didn't ascend on high. So what does it matter when it comes time for me to praise? Who knows it? It doesn't matter to me. We got to get it in our head that he's worthy no matter what. But you know what we do? We get a little too professional. And in the middle of our worship, if Chandler hits a bad note on the bass, why are we paying so much attention to that and not giving him the songs of Zion that he has asked from us? If you'll do it by yourself, then why would you hold back in here because you're worried about but I'm more concerned about what he would think. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. I've stood beside people that couldn't sing but would raise their hand and say they could. I have stood and I have judged. Can I get an amen? I have got aggravated at people in church for getting up in front of everybody to sing. And I could tell they never once practiced the song. And they would say, y'all pray for me. The devil's trying to get my tongue. And I'm like, the devil ain't nowhere near you. You just didn't practice. Yeah. And then came the bless them, Lords. Y'all know my story. Somebody in the congregation, bless them, Lord. I'm like, no, don't bless them, Lord. They didn't even try. Find me, boys. I don't know what key I sing this in. Well, you should know. You're the singer. I don't sing by key. I sing by letter. I open up and letter fly. They said, sing us a song. And they said, notice what they didn't say. Well, I can't really sing that well. Well, I don't really know what song you'd like to sing. Notice what they said. They said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It wasn't about their ability. They weren't talking about their ability. They weren't talking about their skill level. They were talking about their situation. How can we sing when we are in this situation? How are we going to be able to sing the songs of Zion when we're not in Zion? I want to preach to you today that God's got a people that can still sing in a strange land. It does not matter their situation. It does not matter their ability. It does not matter whether they can do it right or not. They're going to sing because they know that God is worthy and there's no other reason to sing. How are we going to do this in this situation? We won't admit it, but we've been there. We've been there when we wouldn't praise God because he hadn't moved like we thought he should move yet. And here's what we do, Doug. We slip into this state. And I ask you how you're doing, and you say, I'm just going through something right now. I'm just going through something right now. I'm learning. I've been in this same trial that I'm in right now for quite a few years now. And I'm learning something. You know what I'm learning? My trial does not have anything to do with my praise. My situation has nothing to do with my praise. Nothing. My praise is not based on my situation. It's not based on the current state that I'm in. It's not based on what I see with my eye. It's not based on what I hear. It's not even based on what I know is happening in the natural. I cannot base my praise on any of that. My praise has to be based on something far deeper. Can I preach to you for just a minute? I base my praise on what happened 2,000 years ago on a tree. A man died for my sin. He was buried and he rose again, and that praise and that king got up, and he is forever faithful. So he must be forever worshiped and forever praised. I will offer the sacrifice of praise continually. It is the fruit of my lips. Did y'all see those words? My praise is the waters that my enemies drowned in. If you don't believe those lyrics, you don't know praise. Because we've heard it before. God, why did you bring me through the water? Why did you bring me through this deep water? The reason I brought you through the deep water is because your enemy doesn't know how to swim. We got to understand that we can create the thing that moves our enemy out of the way. The enemy does not want to hear your praise. He don't want to hear your worship. He don't want to hear you sing. He don't want to hear you song. He don't want to hear your adoration. He don't want to hear your exaltation. He don't want to hear any of that, because God inhabits the praises of his people. They hung up their harps. They sat down. They said, come on, let us hear a song from Zion. How are we going to sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It's tough sometimes. It's tough to sing sometimes, Aaron. Ain't it? Do you ever... leave y'all alone. I pull the audience, and sometimes they give me the wrong answers and it messes up my sermon. Have you ever been leading worship and got aggravated at the congregation? Who? You ever been preaching and got aggravated at the congregation? What does the congregation have to do with your sermon? If God laid it on your heart, why do we let them? He told Jeremiah, he said, don't look at their faces. I've been preaching since I was 17. Look, I can look at you without looking at you. And younger preachers can't. Younger preachers are noticing what you're doing. And they'll get tore up when they look at you. I can glance right over you, and you think I'm looking at you, and I ain't looking at you. Because I've looked at them before, Eddie. And somebody might just be having a bad day. Somebody might just have an ingrown toenail and wore the wrong shoes. And I'm up here letting that affect my sermon. Because they're going. I shouldn't have wore these. Nobody told you to wear them cute little shoes anyway. Sometimes your shoes are too cute to worship in. Oh, that was heavy, wasn't it? I'm going to try it over here. Sometimes you came to look too pretty anyhow. How you going to worship in that? You can't worship in that. You can't. Tracy can. Sometimes we're letting other things affect our worship that should never affect our worship. I don't like strange places. But when you're in a strange place, it should not eliminate your song. I should still be able to sing the songs of Zion when I'm not in Zion, because Zion is in me. Oh, man, that's good if you get that. That's good if you get that. The world may not like my song. I didn't ask them to like my song. It's not for them anyway. My song belongs to him. And when I give it to him, the world may not accept it. The world may not like it. They might not like the lyrics. They might like not like the tune. It doesn't matter. I'm not singing to them. I'm singing to the one that bought my salvation, that redeemed me, that brought me out, that gave me joy, that gave me peace, that gave me bread, that gave me water, that gave me all the things that I need. That's who my song is to. See, some of y'all are too young to know, and some of you are too, I don't know. You came from dead churches, and you won't know what I'm talking about. There was a time when the older saints really wouldn't sing. They would just, I've been in prayer service where they moaned a song. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. I've been in service where they just go, oh, and some of y'all be tripped out. What is going on in this Looney Tune prayer meeting? He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And we use that as a joke for people that can't sing. But the truth is, sometimes when we're singing, it can come out in a moan. It can come out in a groan. It don't have to be with inside of the proper framework. But God hears joy because he hears somebody that knows him in a strange land, and they're still able to give him praise. Look at the person beside you and say, I don't have it all together, but I'm still going to give him praise. You weren't convincing at all. They didn't believe you at all. They looked at you and said, you're just saying this because he said it. You got to make up your mind. It may not be all great right now, but my praise is still real. My God is still worthy. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy to be praised. He's still worthy. Here's the problem with being in a strange land. You're getting too far of a strange land. You can sing and they can't understand you. Amen. The dialect is different. The language is different. But I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. We got to know each other through the Spirit. So my prayer is, and I prayed this for a long time, Brandon, if the Apostle Paul would walk into this room without being able to understand anything that we are saying, I hope he would walk in and recognize through the Spirit and say, it's the same Jesus. It's the same Jesus that came out of the upper room. It's the same Jesus. I don't know exactly what they were saying, but I do know this. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Lord. It's the same faith. It's the same baptism. I know it by the Spirit. Sometimes your song has to be lifted up in a way I can recognize it through the Spirit. We're in a strange land. What time is it? Come on, Aaron. Let's go New Testament. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Paul and Silas got put in prison. Hey, y'all don't over here. I don't ever come over and talk to y'all much. Paul got put in prison. And we know this because we've heard it. The enemy didn't mess up when he put Paul in prison. He messed up when he put Paul and Silas together in prison. He shouldn't have put them in the same cell. Because the Bible says where two or three. And here's why some of us would look at, well, I mean, it's minimum. It's the very minimum. It's two. It's the very minimum. And some of us just look at the glass. What is it? Half empty. We're just glass half empty kind of people. Brandon's back here drinking water. Let me see your glass. Half what? Half full. Well, there's only two of us. Let me tell you what's a strange land. For Paul and Silas, being in prison was a strange place. In the inner prison. And at midnight. I know y'all know this, but this is still good. If I was going to work as a guard at the prison, I would want to work midnight. You know why? Because everybody should be sleeping. The dead shift. Everybody's snoozing. But something began to happen at midnight. They prayed. And then they sang praises. Can you imagine being in your cell? I don't really know what style of music Paul and Silas sang. I mean, as far back as I can go is hymns. Do you know what I'm saying? But they were singing other music before hymns, right? Could you imagine when hymns came out? Have you heard this new stuff they're singing? They're down there singing that I'll Fly Away stuff. Mm-mm. Oh, have you heard Great Is Your Faithfulness? Abominable. Could you imagine all the old people? What are they doing with that? You seen that red book? We need to pray God gets rid of that thing. You're laughing because you don't think it happened. It still happens. I don't know what they sang, but I know one thing. It got God's attention. Because even in a strange land, you can sing your song. Even in bad situations, you can sing your song. Even when everything's falling off around you. Listen, number one sign that a person's getting ready to leave the church, number one sign. They stop worshiping. The number one sign that a person is on their way back out into a life of sin is they stop worshiping. It's not your giving. It's not your tithing. It's not your offering. As a matter of fact, some people don't even go to church, send money through the mail to the church. It's not about giving. It's about worship. It's about worship. Because when you begin, listen to me real close, when you begin to disconnect from God, you don't deem him worthy enough to worship him.
That's right.
And you say, preacher, worship just doesn't happen in church. I completely agree. I completely agree. But if you can't worship in here, how are you going to carry it out there?
Right.
Man, this is the place where we get strength. You have no idea what I've been going through, do you? I call you and tell you what I've been going through? I didn't tell you, did I? Well, you got about an hour. I did it again the other day. Christy, I did it again the other day. I ran into somebody. I knew. I told myself, mental note, don't ever ask them how they're doing again. And I did. I said, hey, how you doing? Hey, how long you got? You got a song, Johnny. You got a praise. Don't let us hold it back. You're going through something. You're going through something nobody here knows about. He knows about it. Eddie told me something years ago, and I'm closing. Here we go. Y'all ready? Eddie told me something years ago, and it stuck with me. A lot of things he told me stuck with me. He said, Damon, when you complain, he said 80% of the people that you complain to do not care. Well, 20 is 20%. And he said, and the other 20 think you deserve what you're complaining about. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks a whole lot. But by the rivers of Babylon, no matter what's going on in my life, I think they should have sang. I think they should have reached and got their harps off the willow tree. And though they may not have, you can. You can. You can. We're getting ready to sing. We're getting ready to sing. If you can't sing, which most of the congregation can't, the reason I know that is you didn't raise your hand. To those three or four that can, we expect you to sing. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. This is an opportunity. Listen, listen, real close. Listen. If you're lost in here today, there's an altar for you to get a relationship with the Jesus that died for you. We want to pray with you. Every person in this room is rooting for you to surrender. If you felt the Spirit of God in any capacity today, and if He's dealing with your heart, we want to pray with you. Don't walk out those doors the way you walked in. Being a sinner don't make you a bad person, makes you a person. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.